This is CliffCentral.com.
Yo, you're listening to the Gilmore T vibe on Cliff Central, and I am Kanye's JR.
I'm addicted to you. There's nothing I can do. All these other girls on my exes ain't got nothing on you. Cause you know how to touch. When you leave, I miss you much. Baby, be sure that I'm never going nowhere. There's so many questions, many things that's on my mind. When I look in your eyes, all my answers I can find. You see, it's only you I want to be mine, by my side all the time. So don't let me go, don't tell me no. I am the one you're looking for. Just let it show, let your love flow. Baby, my addicted to you.
Alright, so welcome to the Gilmore T Vibe here on Cliff Central. So remember, every Friday at 1 p.m. we are live on www.cliffcentral.com. And last week I had the ambassador of Zimbabwe to Nigeria, and it was just touching base on how, I mean, the lessons that he has learned of being in Abuja in Nigeria, and also how we can take advantage of that as people living in Zimbabwe. And again, just before I ended the show, I highlighted that I'm going to have a conversation with one of the most amazing persons that I've met. And she's from Nigeria. Her name is Nnamaka Nosisi, but she'll correct how I say her name. She's the creative director for Magnesi Collections, which is a handmade designer bags, and also they do accessories. They mix up leather and also African print on these bags. Incredible stuff. I've been here for 2 weeks now, and I'm just getting exposed to how she's working and how she's pushing. And this girl works hard, guys. Like, when I mean people work, I've seen this girl work so hard. Well, she doesn't want to be called a girl because she's a mother of three, but she's still a girl. Either way, she's a girl. Amaka, welcome.
Hello, Gilmore.
How are you
welcome
doing?
Welcome to Magnesi Collection.
Thank you so much. Firstly, thank you so much for having me at Magnesi. I mean, you find people that open up their doors for you to just come and be a disturbance, or be just sitting there and just be there when they're used. Because, you know, you're used to your routine, and accommodating someone else, it means you're going out of your way and you have to do certain things. And thank you for that.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. We spent time in the U.S. and I knew you were obviously going to bring a lot of inputs.
Yeah.
Be with us at Magnesi, and this 2 weeks has not been a waste.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of insights, and mm-hmm. we've just been really happy to have you and actually helped us move to our new store.
You're making money, man. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. You're making money. That's the plan. I'm not here today.
All right. So tell me a little bit. When you started off, or rather, take me back when you're 6 years old. What were your dreams? What were you thinking of?
Oh, I think I was thinking of becoming an air hostess.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
That was what I wanted. I wanted to fly in planes. I wanted to be a hostess. Every time we traveled, I would look at these ladies and think, can you imagine living in the sky?
Uh-huh.
So it was funny. That was what I wanted to be when I was 6 years old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then from there onwards, obviously when you're six and then you went on to school and you went to high school, the dreams start to change, and how was it evolving for you?
Yeah, it evolved. I think at some point I wanted to be a geologist.
Good Lord. I think
when I wanted to go into school. Why? Because I heard geologists made a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
And then I wasn't so good at physics. Because you have to be very good at physics.
Yeah.
And maybe even chemistry and stuff to be a geologist. So obviously the miners will drill oil and all.
Mm-hmm.
So then it changed to me wanting to be a social worker.
Okay.
But that dream, obviously, yes, I give a lot, and I love the fact that I love helping people. I love making sustainable changes in people's mm-hmm. lives. Obviously, coming from Nigeria and having a lot of people who are mm-hmm. not previously say well-to-do, people who live under a dollar a day, mm-hmm. became my passion. So I moved to the UK in 2006 to study social work, which I did, and then fast forward to 2008, I get married and my husband wants me to move back to Nigeria to live. So I moved back here. And
so you've been married for 10 years?
Yes, literally. Wow. October 25th is my wedding anniversary, 10 years. Amazing. Doesn't
wow. Wow.
Yeah, but that dream obviously kind of changed coming back here. I wasn't able to secure employment. Mm. And this is how literally my business started. I did about 3 jobs, breaks in here, and then when I lost the other one because there was a misappropriation of funds and they
of
made
course,
us redundant,
of course, of course.
I just said to myself, I can't keep doing this. What do I do? So I'm a girl who loves a bag. So I want to own a purple bag in all the shades of purple, you know, magenta, purple, lilac, you know. So I thought handbags, and it fascinated me. So I went out to learn how to make handbags through this guy. Or the plan was for him to make them myself.
Yeah,
myself,
that's it.
But he wouldn't produce.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously I had to start learning by default, just looking at him.
Wow.
But the fact that I could give him a piece of fabric and we convert it to a bag fascinated me. And I was like, this thing I love so much.
I want to do this.
You know, I want to do this. Like, I remember moving back to Nigeria and I had 2 boxes full of handbags. And my husband was like, what are you doing? So many handbags. I love them. You know, so that was literally how I started. After he made the first 2 productions for me, he wasn't forthcoming. I didn't have a job. I had said to myself, you're obviously not working. Why don't you look into doing this? And I started making the bags myself on the floor of my porch.
When did you start your business? Because now this is fascinating. You know, the dream of, firstly, you wanted to be an air hostess and you wanted to be a geologist and you wanted you then started social work. In some way, because I spent some time at your factory, in some way you're actually doing social work indirectly, but only that is sustainable social work. Because you have artisans that you're working with, young artisans in Nigeria that are making bags, that are making shoes, and at the same time it's some social service that you're doing, and these people are getting paid for this work. So in a way it's sustainable development.
When I started my business, you know, backpedal 2011, when I started and people started seeing what I was doing, they would tell me, go and produce in China. And I was like, Chinese people don't have 2 heads. If I'm able to do this, it's only a matter of time. And the passion that I have is not just to make the bags, but to be able to make the bags, sell to people, employ people, and give back. So it's always been about me and my staff. And I think that is what is taking me to this level. Why can't we do what the other people in the other countries are doing?
Why can't we do it? We do have the same hands.
Bags? You know, as much as we're still hand cutting, which you see, and we're getting we have precision and we're trying to do, obviously, world class and amazing bags.
Yes.
Hand cutting. Imagine what we do when we get a cutting machine. I was you in Texas, and you know, obviously, my dream is to be able to get a cutting machine that can speed up process and help us also do volume.
Exactly.
You know, so the dream is all about doing it here, living the African dream, hiring people, and living a business that is sustainable. A business that my voice can grow to be part of.
So you're building a legacy. I think it's one thing that we as Africans need to master, that if our parents were not able to build something for ourselves, we need to be able to build that for the children that are going to come after us. Because one thing I think that we check behind is that we don't leave a legacy that someone can pick up. So you want your boys to be able to take up. Maybe you'll be blessed with another set of triplets of girls. So maybe all your kids need to take over that business.
And even if one or two take over, even if it's not them, it could be staff. I have my staff who their kids are here interning during the holidays. It could be something. And even if it's not somebody in my family, it could be me leaving a business. I don't want to leave a business that is about me. I want to leave a business that would run, Coca-Cola. I don't think the person that invented Coca-Cola is still alive.
It's
still there. And then people can see. And then what my business has done for me, because I started this in 2009 with Ankara Bags, and not just done for me, done for my staff, done for people.
How many years have you been doing?
7 years this September that we seriously started working in Makinisi. To tell them that it's possible. You know, I was somewhere yesterday and at a dentist, and people I worked in, and we started having a conversation. I told the lady, I have a factory, we make these bags. And they literally called everybody in the dentist to come and have a look at this bag.
Because people can't believe.
They can't believe it's made in Abuja, Nigeria. You know, like literally made local. It's possible. We can do this.
But what's the reaction like from people in general? Because you're talking about how people are shocked. But what's the reaction of people, and when every time you say, this is my bag, this is, I'm the one who makes this in my factory.
They congratulate you, they encourage you, people buy these bags. Not sometimes you see people buying our bags, not because they really need another bag, but because they just want to encourage you. And they oo and ah because they cannot believe this kind of quality of product can be made here. So you see our bags sitting on the shelf in any store, you would think they were all imported.
Yeah, that's, you think that's they're the not thing. Just
afforded,
that's so good.
They're so luxury, you know, and you couldn't even afford. But our bags are also affordable for the quality we're pushing.
Of course,
you
of
know.
Course.
So I'm happy. People react. People ask you how you started. What made you think about this in the first place?
Like of all things,
you know, of all things, handbags, shoes, and then we're no longer doing just handbags and shoes. You're in my factory. You've been with us for 2 weeks.
Exactly.
So we're
trying
to push up laptop bags,
doing other things,
for this corporate or this government organization hosting the conference on Monday. So we're doing laptop bags, we're doing folders, we're doing things that would normally be imported from China, handmade, incorporating our African fabric and our own style into it, and changing it. So like innovating in a beautiful way,
incredible,
owning it.
But you know, when you say that, one thing that I think I've learned from Nigeria, from my trip from Nigeria, is Nigerians are so proud of their products. And I feel like we in Zimbabwe and everyone else across the African continent need to start adopting what Nigerians are all about. I was in an Uber the other time. I was going to see the ambassador last week. And then the Uber guy, there's an international song that started playing on the radio. He changed. I was like, no, I don't like to listen to international radio. This is not the first time I've seen that. Many people do that when I'm in their cars. So I like the fact that Nigerians are proudly Nigerian. They want to support products from here. And obviously, you've been receiving a lot of support. But what are the most what is the most valuable thing that people have done or said about your bags that you're like, wow, I never knew that?
They say they don't believe anything like this could be made in Nigeria.
Wow.
It's amazing when I hear that. It's also people giving us reviews about how they've carried the bag for months and they keep waiting for it to fall apart and it hasn't.
They keep waiting for it to fall apart.
I'm telling you, yes, and it hasn't fallen apart. So those are the things, and then those are the things that actually make me say, wow, like, we're there. Because really and truly, when I started making bags about 7 years ago, the size of the bags, because we weren't even sewing them, I didn't even know the right sewing machine to buy to sew the sides, they would fall off, and then you will see people who will probably say, oh, I'm sending my driver back, fix my bag.
So it's like people get excited about it.
Yeah, they get excited, and just the fact that they know this young lady is trying to make a living out of this, she's pushing, she's pushing the envelopes. And then right from start, when we started, even though maybe something could rip from it, you will see that the finishing, you thrive on the finishing, because I am a lady, I've had handbags. I think my mom gave me my first handbag when I was about 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember that purple and lilac bag. I can still see it, you know, and I know how clean and how properly finished it was. Mm-hmm. So the dream was for me to make a bag and then get those people that the size of the bag will fall, and then people that wouldn't even want to buy a bag 7 years ago to turn around and say, now I can own a Macnisi, I can proudly own a Macnisi, I can go around the world with it, and I will probably say, this was made in my country.
Wow, that's
it's amazing. When you travel with our local bags, because people don't know the reaction. I can remember being in the US, I was in, working into a mall, and then people would turn around and look at me. I was just carrying a normal sachet bag that we sold for just about $20 or $25 at the time. People were looking at me, and I'm thinking, is there anything wrong with me?
Yeah.
I didn't know they were looking at the bag. So I walked into Nordstrom, and then this sales lady saw me with the bag and literally followed me into the restroom and said, excuse me, what is this? Is this Gucci?
But isn't like a compliment also?
Yes.
So imagine seeing Macnisi alongside Gucci.
I'm like,
and
no, it's not Gucci.
Wow.
This is Macnisi. And she goes, what is Macnisi? I'm like, I am Macnisi.
So there's an opportunity for you then to push volumes, because I think people are excited about anything that is different.
Mm-hmm.
People are excited about things that make them also feel good about themselves. Because what we need to realize, I think, when we're making products is that it's never about you all the time. It's about how does the client feel when they carry that bag.
Yes.
So if someone was able to admire the bag on you, they will feel pride to carry the same bag.
Why not?
So there's a market for you then?
No, there's a big market for us out there. And I think one of the biggest reviews we get outside the country is when people travel with our bags. So of recent, this summer, we've been having people just out there with our leather bags. I've had people in France, in the US, in the UK telling me, damn, Amaka, you need to get to, you need to come here. They want to, yeah. They want to take the bags, and this is no longer the kind of response we get or feedback we get from people when they go with the local bags. They are, mm-hmm. all these ladies had our leather bags, and they were like, we need it. We need these bags. Where can we get them? And they're giving them our website. And we're having international customers shopping from our website.
Yeah, it's all incredible. Over the world. Yeah, wow.
It's amazing. You know, it's amazing.
So we should make you the next president of Nigeria, because I know elections are in 2019.
No.
So maybe you should contest, because you've been pushing Nigeria in your own way. You're an ambassador of Nigeria.
Yeah, I'm an ambassador. Make me more like an ambassador. I want to be the president. I have 24 people in my factory right now.
Wow.
I'm literally the king, the president of that place. Let me do what I'm doing. The dream is for me to take on more staff, create a big, get a bigger factory, mm-hmm. do more stuff, push more volumes, mm-hmm. get a big store in the US or in the UK or somewhere in South Africa, mm-hmm. you know. Stuff.
Yeah, we need to get you down. We need to get you down.
Yeah, get me to Southern Africa. Let's feel. Let's feel the African.
Let's
market.
Chop the money. You know? Let's chop the money. All right, so if you're just tuning in, I'm talking to the creative director of Magnisi. It's a brand from Nigeria. They specialize in handmade bags and accessories, mm-hmm. and they use leather and a lot of African fabric. They incorporate those too. And you can find them on all social media platforms, on Twitter, Instagram. They are at Magnisi, which is MAKNISY. That's on Instagram and on Twitter. And also you can follow me on social media platforms. It's Gilmore TWE, and the station is www.cliffcentral.com. So we're going to talk about how you balance family. You have a family. You have three energetic boys. You have a husband who needs attention, just like the kids. You also have extended family. You have your mom. You've got your siblings. You have your staff. How do you balance being a mother, being a wife, being a boss, being a friend, and being a sister? Where is the balance there?
That's like $1 million question. I actually don't know how I do it. Most times when people ask me that question, I just tell them I'm a superwoman. I just wake up in the morning, put up my cape, and I just fly around and make sure I give a certain level of attention to everybody. Obviously, the family is first, and I'm blocking the boys who just started school. So if I'm able to get them a daddy ready, they go off. So now at about 7:38, they're out of the house, then I can actually do some me time and then get into the factory, see what they're doing, and then obviously come here. So this is our new store. I'm loving this, my new office, because this is where I'm going to have my peace and my sanctuary. Today our favor is not disturbing. You know, so I just try to balance it all. I try to give a level of attention to everything. I also try to prioritize. I try to say what is... Who comes first?
And who,
and then what do I need to shelf? And then also, when do I need to rest? Because all these things sometimes, you know, just like you mentioned it, you feel like your head is about to bust.
It's like you feel like everything's happening all at once.
Everything is happening all at once. But I try to balance it, and then I also try to make time for me, you know, maybe over the weekend.
No, this, I was actually looking at, you said me time.
Oh,
so
yes.
Maybe let's just shift a bit from this hecticness. What do you do when it's your me time? Just tell me, like, okay, take me through your day from morning and just end with your me time.
Do I have me time with you? Yeah, my me time in the evening, catching up my series. So what I do, wake up in the morning, get the boys' food ready, and that's food and mine. Get them ready out for school. They go. I do some meditation. That's actually when my first me time comes.
Nice.
Meditation, trying not to take any calls at that time. And then after that, I go into the factory, set the tone. Obviously, they're already working, and just obviously they need me, madam, this, that.
Yeah.
Sort them out. And then if I have any meetings, if I don't, I just settle in and work. And then about 1-2, go pick up the boys. It takes about 2 hours now to settle them down.
Wow.
When they come back from school, get ready, sort my nannies out, and we sort out dinner. Start planning dinner quite early, because when the boys go napping, wake up, we can't do anything again.
Exactly.
And then in between that, I'm taking calls, trying to sort everybody out, people at the factory.
You are superwoman.
There's a lot of things. So multitasking, obviously, during the day, and then my me time starts at about 7:30 to 8 when the boys go to bed. Mm-hmm. Before that, the daddy comes in, I can chill. Just watch an episode of, say, Battleground. Suits.
Nice. Oh, you love Suits.
Drink some tea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love Suits. Mm-hmm. I love Suits.
So that's your me time.
You know, and then obviously during the weekend I get to hang out with friends.
Oh, nice.
On Thursday I get to go for fellowship and also pray with my friends, and then we catch up. And then over the weekend I can go out for a movie or a dinner, or if we have a party, you know, and then just do. I just, that's how, that's the ritual in my day, and I just try to find a balance through all this. The only one I know is that most times I just make sure I'm in bed early, if I can get into bed early.
Nice,
my day starts up so early.
Yeah, no, you need to keep your body together. Wow.
You know, yes, so I try to get some sleep, and I love my sleep. So in between this, if I can, sometimes I draw the curtains down at the office
and tell them, and take a siesta.
I just sleep. You know, normally after my afternoon meal, I just try to sleep. So yeah, that's literally me. But like I said, superwoman, well, I'm a woman, you know, and there's a lot for us to do.
That's why I'm telling you that you need to, I always feel like women are literally the backbone of every functional economy or family or whatever you want to call it. Because look at you, I mean, you're a woman in business, you are a mother in business, you are a wife in business, you are a boss to other people, and you're just making things work. But obviously it comes with challenges. I mean, so what are some of the challenges that you faced when you started off your business to where you are right now, and how did you sort of like try to deal with them?
Yeah, well, like I said, even this balance, to find this balance, like for, I said to you now, okay, so my boys weren't there in the early times when I started my business. I didn't have kids, and that was like, as much as I was waiting to have kids at the point, but that was like literally a blessing, because it helped me to actually structure myself, plan myself. Because when you're an entrepreneur, they're pulling you. And then when you start a business without even like literally a business plan, like hello packs, I'm just going to go make them, make some and try and see for myself. You know, so the challenges of starting a business without a business plan, working out, seeing if it's going to sell, how am I keeping my figures and my finances, are they good, you know, how am I also making sure that my business life is not coming into the house and interfering with marriage, how am I making sure that I'm getting things done in the right way, how am I selling. At some point, I was, when I started the business, I was making the bags, literally at 4 o'clock, I have to stop, put them in the boot and go out and hustle to sell.
So you used to do that when you started off?
Oh yes, I used to make, and then when you see, when sometimes when I go, my boys are there, oh madam, because I was the only one who could fix the pins, the magnet pins.
Yes.
And they go like, oh, if I had just stayed and finished fixing these pins, then they would have finished this bag. And I'm like, if you finish the bags and I don't go out to sell, then we're not doing anything.
Exactly.
So, you know, so you can imagine, it's fascinating from when I started, even just thinking about that, how we managed to structure ourselves. And that's where education comes into play.
So it's very important, huh?
Education is very important. What I did was always to take what I studied. I'm not, I don't have a business degree, but I did some courses, spoke to people who run businesses, and obviously when you're doing a business, you get to learn a lot, because it's all from experience, even from our designs, how do we do this, how do we push, how do we get ourselves into stores, how do we find people who spark so we don't have crazy inventory, how do we push, you know, even till now, our social media is still a struggle, we want to let people know we're here,
but,
you know, and then sometimes we go like, okay, we don't really want to let people know we're here too much, because we don't want crazy others.
That's the thing,
you know, which is another thing, because with these jobs we've been doing, the leather bags, some of them have been suffering, we're not pushing our bags as fast as we can, because everything is obviously hand-cut, the manpower is not there.
Yeah, so the capacity, obviously, the capacity, produce is not that, you know, strong at the moment. Okay.
Yeah, to produce a lot, you know. So say a big company comes to tell you, do this X, Y, and Z. Before, we would shut down when we had big jobs.
Really?
We would literally just do the jobs, because there was no need, and then everybody would wait. So the shops are calling us every second, we need more bags, and our outlet stores, and we can't supply, because we know we're going to get a lot of money from just
this job.
So we just concentrate and finish, and we just tell them, well, sorry, this month we can't do anything for you till next month. But now we have enough people, at least we're able to keep about 4 or 5 people here, and then push, and then still get outside. Obviously, you see our contract tailors who have to come in.
Of course,
you know, and then they cost us as well. So it's just a whirlwind, you know. We're trying to balance. We now have an operations manager, we have departments, we have quality assurance people, production, logistics, shoes.
Like, isn't it like just a dream when you look at it now? You're like, what, is this me?
It's like a dream.
Yeah.
It's like a dream, but it's just been a lot of hard work. So, like, I would say I'm lucky to be alive to see the dream play out. Because people would ask me when I started my business, so what is the dream? I'm like, yeah, I want to have a factory that has like 1,000 people.
I thought they thought you were mad or
something. Yeah,
some
they thought I was mad. A lot of my friends now who would think that are now going into making the clothes now, telling me, one of them said to me, now I understand what you were telling me 7 years ago.
Yeah.
But she didn't see it. Mm-hmm. But I had lived abroad and I had seen the power of manufacturing, you know,
yes,
making
yes,
your own
yes,
things, you
yes.
know, creating a niche for yourself in a market where everybody's hustling to sell imported clothing. You have your uniqueness.
Mm.
When I started, what was our selling point? People, I would just tell them, just give me an old fabric in your wardrobe, and I convert it into a bag. Mm. And then suddenly, I turn up with a bag with somebody with a wrapper that they were trying to throw away, give away.
And then you have done a bag for them.
And then I've done a bag, and they can't believe it.
But you know what you were simply doing was to help them capture the memories. Okay. Obviously, when you're helping people to capture memories, because when someone has brought in a fabric, something that they got from someone else, and then they want to throw it away because it's old, but then you help to make a bag.
Yeah.
And at the same time,
you revamp it,
and someone still remembers. They keep that memory with them.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Actually, the first time I did that for some people, the feedback, oh my God, they had the fabric on the floor of the room. They were about to give it out to one of somebody. And then I said, I can transform any fabric for you.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, you mean? I said, yes, just give me. And then I come back with this thing like a few days later and they could not believe it.
Wow.
You know, those are the memories that I keep. Those are things that make me just keep going. That, that let me just say.
The joy of it all.
You know, the joy and the happiness in the face of my customers, the prayers,
Because when someone, those keep you going, you know?
Yeah.
When someone comes and prays for you and they wish you well and they're happy with what you've done for them, those are blessings. They keep coming and then they make you grow every single day.
Mm-hmm. And it's also prayers for my staff, people who have come here and see how much we've worked, how much we've worked to make ends meet, you know, where we've come from, how far we've grown.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot, you know, and it's fulfilling.
Nice.
You go to bed every night knowing that you're doing good.
Yeah. You've brought a smile on someone's face.
Oh, yes.
So it's social work, you get it?
Yes.
You're still doing social work.
Why not? I'm still doing real social work.
Yeah.
And like social work without, you know, only in a different way, but social work in Africa.
Mm.
Because we don't have welfare here.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has to fend for themselves. Nobody's giving you any dime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing, and it's what keeps me going.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm actually happy and proud.
Yeah, when I was going through your just during this day, I realized all the bags have names. Can you just take me through the process of how you name the bag and where did these names come from? Because you can go in Osoka bag, but what is that all about?
So Osoka is a friend's daughter, and then when I initially started making my bags, I would name I think my first two main lines. I just called it a tote because it was a tote bag, or a satchel because it looked like a satchel, and you could adjust the straps, or the Christine tote, which I did a competition because I was like, I want to have unique names for the bags. I don't just want to say crossover body bag or glue this. I want to make it African. So I'm an Igbo woman, so I'm from the Igbo tribe in Nigeria, and then we have a lot of lovely names. I don't actually have an English name.
Really?
My family, we all have Igbo names, and they all mean something. So my name is...
So how do I say your name?
You modeled my name in the beginning. My name is Neamaka Nwosisi.
Neamaka Nwosisi.
So yes, Neamaka means mother is good or brother is beautiful.
Wow.
And then obviously everybody's mother is beautiful. Mine is amazing.
Yeah.
So I would say to myself, why don't I give these bags names that are unique, things that would stick? And then it's just been a thing now. So right now we don't actually struggle for names because most times our designs come from customer requests, customers saying, oh, you can do this and this, because now you know a woman, and every woman wants to be able to design, have had a bag they wanted a long time ago.
We
even have designs lined up, we're that blessed.
Yeah.
You know? So they come in and tell us, they want this bag, and then maybe we finish the bag. Sometimes we finish the bags and we name them after the customers.
Wow.
Then I have unique names that I come across from every tribe in Nigeria, different tribes. Obviously, a lot of my bags have the Igbo names because I quickly relate when I hear.
Exactly. It's easy to explain also.
The meaning is, and then yes, obviously it's easy to explain. I don't have to ask you from which tribe and all that. But when I see names that I like, Like one of the last bags we designed was Kefere. I think it means joyful. That joyful in her tribe. So I asked you, well, yeah, like the soka means, you know, friendship is better.
Wow.
Than having an enemy.
Uh-huh.
You know, the Kamara means, you know, I know God more.
Uh-huh.
You know, I want to know God more. You know, so we have all that. So letter, one of the bags we designed before, the if letter means swag. A lady that's got swag, that's got grace and flow, you know. So there's always a meaning
with all
to
the
these names. And it makes, and it's nice. Sometimes we finish the bag and we really look at it, and then the story to, so it also helps us have a story to this bag. So how did this bag come about? Some of them come about because we made something and we said, oh, let's take this flap off, put a strap on it,
said,
and
yeah.
suddenly becomes this. Or a friend comes in and inspires, and we say,
and
okay.
then you give that name.
And then some of them, we just see it, and then depending on the name we have, because now we even have a lot of names. A lot of people have been waiting for bags to be designed and named after them. So we get them into the process, ask them what they want, and then we say a bag is formed and then it's named after.
I wish you could name a bag after maybe the Ndebele people from Zimbabwe, South Africa, or the Shona people. I mean, I'll give you a few names, like Sipo. Sipo means a gift. Like, you have an incredible gift. Sipo.
Sipo.
Uh-huh. So you have an incredible gift of, you know, promoting livelihood, creating bags, capturing dreams through your bags. So I would actually, if I had to design a bag, I would call it Sipo. Or I'll say Manaka. Manaka means beautiful. Manaka is Shona. Manaka is beautiful.
Oh, that's almost like Niamaka.
Niamaka, you see now. So I'll give you these names maybe, and then you can give one of the bags.
I'll add it to our storage.
You see? Exactly. So you work with young entrepreneurs, I mean young artisans also in your factory. What advice would you have for someone who's also just starting off their business? Because you spoke about the business planning when you started off, but what would you say to a young person who's starting their business or his business?
I think the first thing is more like to do what makes you happy. If you're working somewhere and you're not taking anything from it, you're not getting any learning, there's no push or sale, then it doesn't add up. So I think the first thing was the fascination I had about making handbags, which transforming like a cloth to a bag. So the first advice is to find that thing which you love, that thing which makes meaning. Because most times when things have a meaning, when you're able to, you know, sort out the need for somebody. Because obviously women, we need handbags, we need something to carry. So it's not just the bags, it's also the boxes. Then like we're making footwear now, you need something. So make sure it's like the proper business plans will tell you what need are you.
Yes.
Are you satisfied?
It's about the need. Yeah.
You know, when people see your passion, it tells. When you meet me and I talk about my business, there's no need. You know that obviously I love what I do.
Yeah, exactly.
I live and breathe.
Yeah.
At Macnesi, really. So you don't. It doesn't hide. You know. It also makes you want to even hear more. So if you're able to find that thing which you do, then you find a way to structure it out. Just remember, you can't do it on your own. Your staff, So I always, you see how me and my staff are. I get to carry them along. Obviously, delegate. If you're a woman like me, you couldn't do it on. And I like to tell them, and I like to let my staff know, I couldn't do it without you guys.
It's a full functional.
It's a system. You know, there's a flow. If the production wasn't working well, then there's no bags. And then if the admin wasn't working well, then there's no administrative things. And if there was no sales, then we're making bags and we're stocking them and we can't sell.
Exactly.
And if we didn't have people to buy, so it's not
then
even
we don't have money.
Then we don't have money. So there's just a system that you have to find a way to make work. And you have to work on your system. The minute you get it right, like for us, you know, we would like to say sometimes we don't even go chasing business, they come call it. You know, which is amazing. So it's more like find a balance, find understand your system, find a way to make it work. You have to work hard. A lot of young people today, they just want money to fall from heaven.
That's the thing. That's
and
the
there's
thing.
No manna coming.
No.
The sky is actually extended. You know, you have to work hard. You have to work it. You have to be creative. Think outside the box. Like I'll tell my staff, think. We all have a head. And this head is filled. Yeah, it's not empty.
With something, exactly.
You
exactly.
Be creative about it. You don't want Madame to think about everything. Add your own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want you to know that you're using your head, which God has blessed, so blessed, or your brains.
Yeah, yeah.
Which God has so blessed you with.
Yeah.
And then when the passion is there, and when the hard work fits in, I think everything just comes into place because nothing is hidden under the sun. And for us who believe in God, I believe that when you work hard, He can only just bless you more.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to struggle. People think I have to do X, Y, and Z, but since I started my business, I've just always been blessed one way or the other. You know, people have gone out of their way to do things for me that I would wonder why. You know, people have gone out of their ways to just get me jobs, and I'm like saying thank you, and they're like, what do you mean? You know?
Yeah, you work for this.
We have to encourage you, like, and it's amazing.
That's beautiful.
You know, and then they say, oh, women don't support women. I've had women that have supported me. I've had even men that have supported me. It's just the support circle. I don't even know how to explain it. Have Nigerians abroad now who will tell you that they don't want to carry any bags that are not my bags because they have to support their own.
It's a beautiful thing. We need to master that support.
It's amazing. And then it's growing. That. Like you had said something earlier about you like the way Nigerians embrace their own. We need to do even more of that. We need to do more of that because you still see a lot of probably even our celebrities who don't even know how to own our thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's something about the status symbol when you're able to afford X.
But isn't it? No, but I don't think it's even about the status. I think it's just stupidity and lack of understanding yourself. The more you embrace yourself, the more you embrace who you are and where you come from, the more attractive you become, because there's no other better person who can tell a Nigerian story better than yourself. So why do we want to be able to tell an American and a UK story when we're not even from that space?
You
know what I'm saying? It's stupidity. What you say, no, it's stupid. It's not about the status.
I don't know what it is, but it would be nice if they could embrace us more, just the way you see Beyonce and even the first lady wearing all the designers for American designers.
Yes,
like Obama's wife made a lot of designers very popular because she would go into the slum, into wherever, and just pick all these young designers, and she put a lot of people on the map. If we can do that, you know.
So I am here. I'm going to challenge the first lady of Nigeria.
Please.
We'll make sure that we send the link to listen to the show, and also all the people in the big positions,
nice.
These celebrities, they need to support you. They really need to support you.
You.
I think we have like a few minutes left before we wrap this up, but then there's one very unique thing that you touched on. I believe in someone who believes in God. I am a big fan of people who will connect to God and will find inspiration from God. So when I went into the office earlier, I found the stuff. When I went there, I found everyone came in singing. So I was like, what is going on? Is this someone's birthday? And then when they finished singing, then they started praying. And you mentioned something about that you meditate before you go to the office. That's a beautiful thing that I saw happening. And I was like, wow, this is amazing that people come through and they pray before they start work. Obviously, you touched a little bit about your spirituality. But how important is it every time when you're even in the process of creating a product, a bag, or you're going for a meeting, how important is it for you to pray and your spirituality and your relationship with God?
My relationship with God is so big. It's something personal to me. And then I've come to the knowledge, probably, like I said, I don't know what people who don't have God or have a place to go to, or that person to talk to, and that place to seek that solace.
Yeah.
They do. My relationship with God has started like a long time ago, and then I have this personal relationship with Him that I feel that I have to thank Him every morning. I have to thank. I believe that there's something out there. I believe that there's a higher power.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's taking me, and even like my staff, you see, praying.
I
tell Him to pray because I believe nothing happens to us without Him.
Yeah, true.
We pray so He gives us strength, but sometimes you just want to give up. And you pray and you hear inspirational words, pass it in the Bible, and it just lets you know that, oh, I can do this through God who strengthens me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I believe He's there, and I believe nothing in my life happens by chance. I believe He ordains every single one.
Beautiful.
And that is like what makes me go. So I'm in my camp having a chat.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God.
Wow.
I wake up in the morning, first thing before anything, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Even when one of the boys come in to go, like, okay, you know, I have to do that. And then I'm just on the move and walking into him and saying, Father, help me, so that even this interview we're doing today, so that I would speak, inspire what I would say, you know, would let people know that, oh, you are my God.
Wow.
It's amazing. It's
beautiful.
And then, obviously, I have my staff do that because I tell them we need to pray to God to help us to work well and to make sure money is coming.
Yeah, no, we need the money. The money is out there. It needs to come in. Where does Magnesi come from? The name Magnesi.
So, like I said, Magnesi is my name. So
oh.
Mac is from Amaka for short. Ne Amaka.
Mm-hmm.
Mac. And then Nisi is from Mosisi, my surname.
Wow.
So I took the N in the front. And then put the S I and added a Y instead of the S I S I.
Wow.
And it became Magnesi. Initially, when I started, I wanted it to be Nisi Collections, but there was a Nisi design somewhere in Asia.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to have a battle. And then I said to my husband, what if I add Magnesi? It didn't make a lot of sense to them in the end, but that was a household name.
Magnesi.
Wants to know where is Magnesi. So Magnesi is simply Namaka Mosisi Collections.
Wow.
Shortened to Magnesi.
Wow, beautiful, it's amazing. Last words, because I have to let you go. You're a busy woman, you're a businesswoman. What would you
so
last words to someone, and where do we, first of all, where do we get your bags?
You can buy from our website,
mm-hmm.
www.magnesi.com.
Mm-hmm.
We ship worldwide
with
DHL or NightPost.
Mm-hmm.
You can order also from our, you can check out our Instagram page,
mm-hmm.
Facebook, Twitter. We're on there with Magnesi.
Yes.
Magnisy.
Yes.
And then we have a few outlets,
mm-hmm.
here in Nigeria. We have 3 in Lagos.
Mm-hmm.
We have 1 in Abuja,
mm-hmm.
which we just opened, and we're hoping to have another 2 before the year runs out.
Yeah. Wow.
And then we're hoping to have 4 outlets in Lagos also before the year runs out.
You're working.
Yeah, we're working.
And we need to bring you down in Southern Africa. So I'm already working on getting you into Southern Africa, because your bags are incredible. The quality is amazing. The story behind them, I think most of the times what sells is not your product. It's the story and the spirit that you had when you were making that product. So people feel it. It's more like when you cook. People can feel your love in the food. It's the same with the bag. Yeah, we can taste it. So it's the same thing with the bag. Your bags have like so much life. They have a story. I posted on Instagram and Nhlanhla Nciza from Mafikizolo was like, this is beautiful. Kogelo Nare was on Big Brother Africa was like, I love these bags. And you see, that's already, it's your story is just getting to other people, and you're doing an incredible job.
Thank you so much for having me here. Oh no, thank you for also being here. It's been a very impactful 2 weeks.
It's been amazing.
And you can see how busy I am. Yes, I'm not.
You're had busy.
Time to take you out and do all this.
She didn't even take me for dinner, guys. Not even ice cream.
Because I have to eat when my life ends when they come out, you know. Mm-hmm. But we're going to make sure we do something this weekend before you leave. But mm-hmm. it's been a pleasure having you.
No, thank you
for all the help and all the input.
No. We can only grow. I think what we need to realize is that we only have ourselves to be there for each other. So we should stop looking to the east, to the west, to the south. But we need to look at each other. The solutions are within ourselves. And that's basically to every African. We need to look at each other.
Yes,
we have solutions.
Love each other and embrace each other. I had this lady, this customer from Cameroon about 2 months ago, and she said, oh my God, I'm so happy I discovered you. And I said, my money is no longer going to go to any place in Europe. I'm going to have to embrace our own, because we have so much of so many places and so little of our own. I am going to embrace our own. And then they got the bags. And then the day she sent me a message, I wish I could find Kater. Mm-hmm. She sent me such a beautiful response on Instagram that I literally cried tears.
Wow.
She said her mom started shouting at her, oh, you're spending a lot of money. Why is such expensive bag? Or soon she told her, because she was like, you are lying.
Really?
Like, you mean this was needed?
Yeah.
You know, those are the things that kind of push me. So it'd be nice for us to embrace our own.
Mm.
Look at ourselves, support ourselves, love ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But just know that the future can only be bright.
the next thing we're going to see on Forbes Africa, Forbes Woman, you're going to be on the cover there. And when you have money, and please make sure we chop it together. Don't chop it by yourself.
I'm not going to chop it by myself.
Niamaka, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Wow, that was Niamaka from Maknisi Collections, a brand from Nigeria. They specialize in handmade handbags and also accessories using a lot of leather and incorporating African print. So you can make sure you find them on all social media platforms. On Twitter, they are at Maknisi. On Instagram, it's at Maknisi. And also, thank you so much for joining me this Friday on the Gilmore T Vibe here on Cliff Central. So remember, every Friday, we are live at 1 p.m. And you can tell all your friends, your lovers, your blessers, your grandmothers, and those that you don't like to tune in every Friday at 1 p.m. And the website, if you're streaming, is www.cliffcentral.com. The name is Gilmore T, the Global Citizen. Until next week, same time, same place. God bless and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Lots of love from Nigeria. Cheers.
What up, it's ASAF, and you're listening to the GT Vibe. GT, you can tune in every Friday at 1 p.m. on Cliff Central.
Pull me in, hold me close, don't you ever let me go. Pull me in, hold me close, don't you let me go. Follow me, rally me, let me be the one you love. Follow me, rally me, girl, I'll be your hero.
This is CliffCentral.com.